And now it's up close and personal with Courtney James.
And coming up this hour, we'll be joined by escape artist Dean Gunnarsson. That is up right after this.
These are the profiles and personalities putting the province on the map, up close and personal, on the Superstation, CJOB 68.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Up Close and Personal. It's a show where we bring you a chance to hear interesting stories and get to know more about different Manitobans, people who are passionate about their work, their careers, their community. Today we are very pleased to welcome escape artist Dean Gunnarsson. We are going to hear his amazing life story in the next hour. Welcome to the program, Dean. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show, Courtney.
Well, you have a fascinating, to me, a fascinating career that most of us have heard about in one way or another over the years. So well, we've got an hour and we'll get right to some of all the things that you've done. First of all, this is very unusual. Not everybody is an escape artist. I mean, let's face it.
Every parent's nightmare.
So how did this come about when you were a kid? How did you get into this?
Well, yeah, it's not the norm, I guess, to travel around the world getting out of handcuffs and chains and straitjackets and locks and shark cages and all those kind of things. But I got interested in Houdini as a young person. I was about 10 years old, and my mom bought me a book on Houdini through school, and it was somebody that I started to read, and as young people do, I got this envision of this great man that traveled around the world getting out of all these impossible situations and doing all these things that said people couldn't be done. And as a kid, I thought, wow, wouldn't that be neat, you know, to do things that people said couldn't be done. And it just kind of stuck with me.
Did you say to Mom, can you go and buy me a book on magic tricks? Or how did you get started with it?
Yeah, it was more into my teens that I really got into the magic aspects and you know, saving up my money all summer from like cutting grass and getting my dad to go buy me a straitjacket.
And,
you know, tie me up
way.
The chairs and, you know, all those kind of things. And it was just really just a natural progression. And then when I got in high school, instead of getting a job at the local fast food restaurant like my friends, I went and I started doing birthday parties and making my spending that
right.
way. And then it just, when I got into university, it helped pay my way to university and just kept growing and expanding. And it just, I always kept the dream alive that I wanted to be the best that I could be. And to be that, I wanted to be the world's greatest escape artist.
And you are. Did your family think, wow, you know, this is not going to work? Or did they believe in you?
Well, I think that they never discouraged me. They always helped me, I think, to try and encourage my visions and my dreams and my goals. And I think maybe they might have tried to think, well, what about this option or that option, rather than just putting all your eggs in one basket sort of thing. But, you know, I think when I got more into the dangerous escapes is where it really obviously affected my family more so.
Mm-hmm. So when you were younger, obviously it was more easier, just stunts, little tricks, things that weren't too dangerous. When did it get to a point where you started doing crazy, death-defying stunts?
Well, actually, I guess the first time I did a big escape was Halloween back of 1982 from the old Winnipeg Free Press building downtown Winnipeg. And I wanted to do a tribute to Houdini. Houdini had died on Halloween Day back right. in 1926. So I thought, as a young person, I wanted to kind of honor my mentor, this man that had kind of got me started.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked the Free Press into let me hang from their building, ironically the same place where Houdini had hung from in a straitjacket back in 1923 when he was performing in Winnipeg at the old Orpheum Theater.
Really?
So I thought that would just be a great
tribute.
Yeah, exactly. And so the Free Press said, yeah, sure. And so they locked me up in the straitjacket and they hung me four stories off the top of the Free Press building. And we had about, I don't know, 3,500 Winnipeggers come out and cheer me on. And it was great. It made like the front page of the Winnipeg Free Press and the Winnipeg Sun. And, you know, it just really helped.
So that was sort of your first big break then? You went from there?
Yeah, well, it got me more known rather than just doing birthday parties
sure.
and stuff.
Yeah.
And it helped
a bigger
create more opportunities for me. But again, I was 18 years old and still very much early in my career and learning and growing. And every Halloween since then, no matter where I am in the world, I've tried to do some type of major escape to honor the anniversary of Houdini and the man that really inspired me.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you learn to do what it is you do when there's really no manual? I haven't seen a book on how to get out of a straitjacket.
Well, it has developed more so over the years, but back when I was interested, there was no internet or things where you could just learn. There wasn't any books at the library. The only books that I had was that on Houdini, and I would, you know, research the school libraries and the Winnipeg Public Library and reading everything I could about Houdini. And then once I went through that resource, I started looking on old books on other magicians, great magicians that went through. And then I got to know some of the older magicians in Winnipeg. And Winnipeg has a very, very long and old history on magic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the old Orpheum circuit used to come through Winnipeg from Chicago to Winnipeg, and a lot of the great, great old magicians that people probably wouldn't know of today came here and performed. In fact, the world's largest magic organization, the International Brotherhood of Magicians, was actually started and founded in Winnipeg in 1922 in the old Royal Bank building by a Winnipegger, Len Ventus. His real name was Mel McMullen, and he lived in Transcona until he was 96 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very dear man.
Oh. I had no idea about that. It's not just mental training either. I mean, you are in pretty good physical shape. You have to be a hunk to do the stuff you do. Do you work out regularly, obviously?
Well, again, I don't live in Winnipeg. I live out in the country up at Clear Lake, so I live in an enchanted forest, more or less, with my family. So there's not necessarily a gym and weights, but it's more physical outdoors. Like, I love being outdoors, and I love doing physical things and moving rocks and logs and wood and all that kind of thing. So that's kind of my physical routine to try and keep me in shape.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about, you have an amazing list of near-death experiences. We have to take a quick break, though, and then we'll get through this list and talk about some of the things you've done. And we'll take a quick break. Dean Gunnarsson, escape artist, our guest today. Don't go anywhere. More right after this.
Success stories. Heroes seldom recognize. If they made a difference, they're here on Up Close and Personal on CJOB 68.
Dean Gunnarsson, rather, the escape artist, our guest today. Well, we know you've had near-death experiences. We've seen them on TV and the radio, and we've heard about them. Now, let's talk about some of them. You've got a list a mile long. You've been hanging over alligators and Hoover Dam and skydiving and milk can escape. There's a million of them. The one I want to start with was done right here in Winnipeg, Red River, in a coffin. This was, what, 25-some years ago?
Halloween of 1983. Again, I was 19 years old.
It just boggles my mind. Explain why you did this.
Well, I guess it's a good question at the time. Again, like I said, I was 19 years old, and I wanted to do another big tribute to honor Houdini. So I wanted to do something that nobody'd ever done before, and that's what I really love. I love doing things that nobody else in the world has ever done. So I decided that I would get bound in chains, I would get placed into a wooden coffin, the lid would get nailed on, it would get wrapped in chains and padlocks, and then it would get lowered into the icy, murky Red River here behind the concert hall at the old Alexander Docks, and then I would escape.
You almost didn't, though.
I did. Well, I didn't escape.
Well, yeah, I mean, something went wrong.
Yeah, we had 10,000 Winnipeggers come out to cheer me on, and they never saw me come out of the coffin. I got trapped underwater. The coffin sank kind of funny, and I got stuck in this air pocket, and I tried to take another breath of air, and it sank as I was out of air, and I just got trapped with no air in my lungs. And so I just said, relax, stay calm, stay focused, don't panic. And just kind of drifted off to another world. And I remember seeing the lights and the tunnels and all those things that people talk about when they die. And the next thing I know, I woke up and I was in the ambulance. I couldn't open my eyes, but I could hear the sirens. And I wasn't afraid or in pain or anything like that, but I knew, you know, what had happened. But I wanted to know where we were going. And I kept repeating that. Where are we going? Where are we going? They said, health science center. And I said, fine. And then I blacked out again.
Was that one of your worst or scariest moments?
Well, for me personally, no. But looking back, when I see the old TV footage and video footage and stuff, it was very, very traumatic. I mean, when the Winnipeg Ambulance Service and police sort of ripped me out of that coffin, like, I mean, I was blue, I was unconscious, I was dead, my eyes were rolled back on my head. It was a very horrifying experience, especially like for the people that were there and my family.
Yeah.
And, you know, it became, rather than an escape from a coffin, it became an escape from death. And that, I guess, was far greater. And it taught me a lot of things that day. It's one of those things in your life where you would never, ever want it to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But you're glad that it did, just for the lessons that you learned. And I've done many, many, many underwater escapes since that time. But each one that I do, I take the lessons that I learned that Halloween day in the Red River with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned things that I could have never learned any other way.
And why, how do you come up with the ideas? Why do you pick water or a milk can? Do you come up with the ideas yourself?
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. You always try and use the different elements. Height, you know, hanging from cranes and buildings or getting chained up and thrown out of an airplane. People have a fear of falling or just afraid of heights. So that's an element to try and overcome. Obviously, the fear of water, and we can only survive so long underwater, is always a good element. You use those different elements in nature and in the world, and wherever I travel, I try and take what's available and use it. When we did a big TV special for NBC a few years ago in Las Vegas, they wanted to do something at the Hoover Dam. And it's like, wow, what an amazing backdrop, you know, the Hoover Dam. And so they locked me up in a straitjacket and hung me by my toes from a trapeze 726 feet over the gorge.
I mean, it was like, just looking at a picture, it just looks unbelievable.
And, you know, I have lots of great pictures like that on my webpage, DeanGunderson.com, so people can kind of share what you're seeing. But, yeah, and, you know, it's impossible to rehearse something like that. You can't. So you have to kind of like a football player or a hockey player, you do your bits and pieces, and come game time, you hope it's going to work out. And, you know, that
no
was
turning back.
The Hoover Dam was definitely one of them.
Oh, and the one I love, the alligators. You're hanging above alligators. You're covered in chicken blood. It's just disgusting, really. But why on earth?
Yeah.
Who would come up with an idea like that?
That was another one that we did for NBC, the world's most dangerous magic, too. And they thought it would be really neat. I've done lots of shows in Florida over the years. And you know, the alligators and crocodiles are part of the Everglades, so we thought it'd be a really great opportunity to get chained up, and an alligator can jump about 5 or 6 feet out of the water.
Right.
And so they thought it'd be really neat to cover me in chicken blood and meat and
really
stuff.
Really neat.
And have these alligators try and rip my head off. And it's really interesting. Actually, on the front page of my video, there's a clip from Entertainment Tonight. And if you watch carefully, again, I'm hanging by a trapeze from my toes, you can see one of my feet start to slip off the trapeze as I'm hanging there by 1 foot, trying to re-get my grip as the alligator's trying to rip my head off.
How can you not be scared?
Are you
in a zone? Do you?
Oh, you get very much in a zone, and you get the endorphins kicking in, and all the adrenaline, and it's just, you know, I've never smoked or drank or done drugs, but it's definitely a high, and you do have to stay extremely focused and not let fear overcome you.
Obviously. Our guest today, escape artist Dean Gunnarsson, some fascinating stories, and we will continue with more of them when we return on Up Close and Personal right after this.
Voices that have made an impact, from the renowned to the reserved, they're recognized right here on Up Close and Personal on CJOB 68.
Welcome back. We're here with escape artist Dean Gunnarsson, our guest today. And I want to talk about this because you're involved with so many really charities. A lot of your escapes have been performed for different charitable organizations, and you've been recognized and won some awards. I just got an email here from another fellow just saying you do so much for our community, but you're so low-key, and that is true. Let's talk about some of your charity work that you do, and Cancer Society, of course, I know a big one for you.
And you know what? I guess I do my fair share of charity work, and you know, I always try and make it a personal thing with the charity, and never something that I try and do just to get publicity and stuff off it, and I kind of leave it up to the charities. But I think part of that is aspects of growing up in Winnipeg and such the community that he is. And there are so many great people in this city as role models that do give back to the community to learn and watch from, like the Asper family and my good friend there, Louis Truppel, and his family with Ben Moss Jewelers and stuff. And so there, it just becomes part of you. So, my aspects, I wasn't born with lots of money or anything like that. So I've had to work hard to help the communities or the different charities to give them an opportunity to raise money for me. And of course, lots of them are special to me, but probably my special one is, of course, the Canadian Cancer Society, who I've worked with for a number of years, in helping them fight their over 200 different cancers that affect Canadians.
And thank goodness they have people like you that do help. It all helps. You've got a couple world records, I know, for escaping. Tell us about some of those.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting older now, so I'm not quite as fast as I used to. But the records that I have are more death-defying. In fact, they won't put them in the books anymore. But one of them was being chained inside of a car by the chief of police from South Pasadena there in Los Angeles, and put me in a car crusher and crushed me, and I had to escape while the car was being crushed. That was for the TV show, the Guinness Book of World Records. So it was, it's one that's not, there's a big lineup for people trying to break. It was something that we did that nobody else in the world had ever done before.
And what about broken bones? Are you right up there on the list? Have you had a lot? Yeah. What have you broken or haven't you broken?
Well, you know what? There's probably not a part of my body that hasn't been injured at one time or another. And
really?
Again, one of my role models as a kid growing up was Evel Knievel. Mm-hmm. And I used to love watching his motorcycle jumps and jumping over Snake River Canyon and that sort of thing. But he holds the world record for the most broken bones in his body. And that's one record I never wanted to achieve, but it's gotten closer. And, the things that I do are very physically demanding. A lot of them are high risk. Being locked in a shark cage underwater where sharks swimming around, or being chained up in a box and blown up.
It's just not a normal day at the office. Does your wife have a fit when you're about to go and do some of these things? I mean, how is it on family and family?
You know what? I'm very, very lucky to have somebody in my life that I love very much and is very supportive of what I do. And obviously it's hard on her as all my family. But you know what? It's something that I'm passionate about what I do, and it's also I don't like to take unnecessary risk. Like I do have a safety coordinator, Curtis Monkman, that's been with me for over 15 years, working with me, and he travels with me wherever I go in the world, and making sure that I'm safe, and we have our different signals and so forth. But accidents happen, and they have happened, and that's always the worst experience is waking up in an ambulance. It's probably a good thing, right, to wake up in the ambulance as opposed to not waking up, because then you're still alive and in one piece.
I was going to ask you about that PR people and people that help you that you can trust. I mean, you guys have to be able to read each other without saying the words. I mean, you have to really get to know someone, and so he does travel with you.
Absolutely. My brother worked with me for about 10 years, and then back in 1995, we were involved in a really bad motor vehicle accident on our way to a show, and he took a head injury and wasn't able to work anymore. And we were extremely close, and especially as brothers, he had a vested interest to make sure that I came home safely. Otherwise, he'd have to deal with my mom, kind of thing. But we were very close. But Curtis has really stepped in well, and always feel safe in his hands.
You obviously travel a lot. You travel the world. You've been to different countries and all. Is language, are you ever worried about the language barrier? Because, you need people to rescue you if you need help. What if these people don't speak English or understand, that alligator's eating me in English? There's got to be that problem.
Yeah, because you always have to pick up extra people to help you.
Yeah.
I've been in China many times over the years, but when I was there last year, they were chaining me up in handcuffs and chains and then hanging me from a crane and a burning rope, and I had to have about 12 Chinese guys pull me up on this pulley system every day, and not one of them spoke English. They didn't. So, you know, you have to train them and work with them and make sure that they care enough that they want to pull you up. So,
or you pay them enough.
So, you know, I was bringing them gifts every day and, you know, getting them all excited and, you know, treating them very special to make sure that they were, you know, they wanted to see me get out. And, of course, the other thing is when they're pulling you up by your ankles and so forth, that the other thing that you have to get into their heads is that when you're done, they don't let go of the rope and start clapping, you know, and then you come tumbling to the ground. So, so it's you know, it's been exciting. I mean, we've been to countries like Egypt and India and Iceland and, you know, through South America and China and Asia. And, you know, as a kid growing up in Winnipeg, it's just like, wow, you know, I've been able to see and do things that people can only, you know, dream or
live your dream, really. Wow, amazing. Before we take a break, I want to ask you this. Everyone wants to know how you do it. I mean, that must be the number one question you get. How do you do it? How do you do it? Do you ever reveal secrets or share things, or is it locked up here and you're the only one that knows?
Well, I mean, I guess I do have secrets, but they're more techniques, they're skills, and obviously, you know, I have a skill of opening locks and handcuffs and that, but mainly it's just studying all the different types and varieties. The way I get out of something is part of it is physical, having the physical ability to manipulate my body, the strength, the conditioning to withstand the elements to do it. Part of it is a skill technique, understanding what I'm escaping from, the handcuffs, the locks. And the other part is the mental ability. Being able to overcome fear, to stay focused, to visualize what you need to see and accomplish before you do it. And the visualization is actually, I feel, the most important and the one that people can use in every day of their life, and one that I like to talk about a lot when I do my motivational speaking.
Mm-hmm. You envision that you can do it, you say you can do it, and you do it.
Exactly. And that's part of the basic process, but it's the technique. And in skydiving, we call it dirt diving. Before you leave that plane, you physically go through the maneuvers and you see it in your head and you ingrain it into your head so much that when it comes time to do it, whatever you have to do, whether it's standing in front of a group of people, going to a job interview, just doing your daily job, that is so ingrained in your head that when you go to do it, it feels like you've done it before. And I have to use that technique a lot because, like I said, it's impossible to practice getting handcuffed and chained and thrown out of an airplane or locked in a tank of sharks or, you know.
Oh, and the list goes on and on. We'll continue and we'll hear more stories from escape artist Dean Gunnarsson, our guest today. We'll be back right after this.
Making a difference, province or nationwide. Interviews with those making an impact. Up close and personal on CJOB 68.
Welcome back. Escape artist Dean Gunnarsson, our guest today. Getting all flustered. I'm getting all these emails about you, how truly amazing person you are inside and out. And it's nice to hear. I know, you know, when you do such an unusual job like yourself, people think of you as rough and gruff and escape artist, but you're a big teddy bear.
You know what? I am. And you know, like I said, I've been so fortunate, and I do a lot of crazy and death-defying things, and I've worked in all the major cities of the world and so forth. But I really feel that life is about balance. And you can only take so much of Las Vegas or Los Angeles or Paris or Tokyo or Beijing kind of thing, and then you have to balance that life. And part of the balance in life is Winnipeg, is Manitoba, where you can be very grounded and down to earth with good friends and good family. And like I said, I live out in the country, and I can just kind of just, you know, enjoy the fresh air that we have in this province, the clean water, the good people, and just be treated like a person, like everybody else is here. So
and you were
it's a
raised,
special place.
You were born here and raised here. A lot of people know you over the years. I mean, you know, but
I've been very fortunate, and I have a lot of supporters out there. Again, I've been doing these escapes since I was a teenager, and I have a lot of people that come out to the shows time and time again and getting to know them. And you know, I think, again, part of it is just like, I don't know, I am what I am. What you see is what you get. I don't try to be pretentious. I have some really good friends, you know, like Gordie Howe taught me a lot, the greatest hockey player of all time, how important it was to give back to the average person. Another really good friend of mine is Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And he's the perfect example. I know he gets a lot of flack because he's so involved in his team, but he's a multi-billionaire. But yet, everybody is so important to him. And so you look at people like that. I was able to work with George Burns when I was young. And it's like, man, he'd done everything and anything. But it's like, I would never, ever reach what he's done. But it's just how important it is just to mm-hmm. be yourself and, you know, don't call yourself short, but you know, just be true to yourself. And I think that's that's very important.
I love some things you have. You've done things that are different from other entertainers or magicians or escape artists, whatever you want to call it. You have trader cards. This is so cool.
Yeah. Part of it is the promotion and marketing aspects of things. And, you know, I'm an entertainer, and I make a great deal of my living not just doing big TV shows, but doing corporate events and, you know, Christmas parties or, you know, fairs and exhibitions and that sort of thing. I've worked with Morris Entertainment here in Winnipeg since I was a teenager, and so I do a lot of those sort of things. So we've developed a lot of different promotional stuff and postcards and T-shirts and stuff. And again, you can see a lot of that stuff on my webpage on DeanGunnarsson.com. But you know, a lot of Winnipeggers still have those cards from years ago, and I always joke around like I did with you earlier that if I die in my next escape, they might be worth some money.
Oh goodness, don't ever even joke about that. But TV. You mentioned that. Let's talk about that for one quick sec. Did you like it? Are you nervous? Does it bother you? Or is that something?
No, I like it. It's hard in some aspects rather than a live show, because in a live show, I have control of the content and what I deliver to the audience, what the audience sees.
Right.
On television, a lot of times you can do a great escape, and then the TV producers or the directors and the editors, they take it back and they chop it all up and they come out, and it's like, wow, that looks totally different.
Right.
It's a chance to create something really big and work with really big budgets and do something exciting and different. And like I said, that hasn't been done before. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the things that like Criss Angel's doing on television. But you know, it's still very popular entertaining to a certain market.
Mm-hmm. You're very family oriented that way, because I mean, you recently did the car wash thing, and you know, it's stuff that you can tell your kids, is nothing that you can't talk about with kids or children. So it's for everybody, something for all ages, myself, my kids.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, you know, I've worked, you know, I try and I guess what's probably kept me alive over these years is my versatility.
Mm-hmm.
So whether I'm performing at a children's festival, then obviously I'm not doing any, you know, death defying or
right.
skates for the children. And then, you know, like I said, if you go on television, you can do something crazy. So I think as a Canadian entertainer, you have to be versatile to stay alive in this business. And I've never received any government grants or, you know, Canada Council money or anything like that. Everything I've had in life, I've had to work with and strive and get myself. So I think it helps you to be creative and to be imaginative and to find your different markets and work with really good people, which there are a lot of in this city.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take another break here on Up Close and Personal. When we come back, we want to find out what's next for you. So hold that thought, and we'll find out when we return on Up Close and Personal.
One-on-one with the people that made us sit up and take notice. You're getting Up Close and Personal on the Superstation, CJOB 68.
And we are indeed with Dean Gunnarsson, and we want to know, what is next for you? Is the best yet to come?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I've always felt that. I think that you can always improve, and no matter what I've done, and there's a lot of great things, again, on my webpage, DeanGunnarsson.com, but I've done a lot of TV shows. Some will be airing this fall. Mystery Hunters is one. It's a Canadian production, so I was kind of proud of that. But next Halloween, I want to do another big escape where I want to be chained up, put into a coffin, and buried 6-8 feet underground, and spend a week underground and escape on Halloween Day at 1:26 p.m., the exact time that Houdini died.
You're kidding me, right?
No, that's...
Wow.
And again...
Are you working on that?
We've been working on it for quite a while, actually, and it's something that I want to gear up for next Halloween. Just the conditioning, the training, you know, being buried alive is one thing, trying to escape is another, doing it over that time frame. It's going to be a whole different element, so...
Is it something maybe you would do here in Winnipeg at home?
You know what, Winnipeg is actually my first choice, just because of the people here that I work with, but we are entertaining different things from different cities and stuff, and it's a big event, but Winnipeg is always my first choice.
Well, good luck is all I have to say, and thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate hearing about your life. It's truly amazing.
Well, thank you very much. Someday I'll write a book on it all, and that if I can find a good writer.
You will indeed. You're listening to the Superstation CJOB 68.
The preceding program is copyrighted and may not be reproduced in any form without the written consent of CJOB 68.